All right, it's about 2:10. The next thing on the agenda is report from the Chief Financial Officer of Pacifica, Lonnie Hicks. And there's going to be a little setup there. Jane, you might have to back up just to, or actually you need to get out of there, I think, because they're going to do their projection.
Their dog and pony show. Oh, I didn't say that.
Yes. Anyone could have a candy. Candy, anybody? The agenda is posted at the back of the room near the door there, finally. It was on the table this morning, but you may not have noticed it there on the table. Are these any? I guess not. All right. And also, board members who may not have been here when we began. Tomorrow morning, I'm trying to find somebody to take our picture, and I'd like to take a big group picture tomorrow morning before we begin. Okay, Tom, you'll come and do that? It's a little before 9 in here. Thank you very much. Yeah, so wear your best clothes.
What is the attire?
Yeah, we could do all kinds of different permutations of it, but I would like a photograph of the board alone, and then we can mix it all up, and yeah.
Do a pyramid.
We can do a pyramid, yeah. And
mic'd up, ready to go.
I think he's beginning, Teresa. Are you ready, Lonnie? Or?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, Lonnie's ready. If we could have silence, please, if the meeting could please come to order. Thank you.
Okay, time for the movie again. And what I'm going to do is today is just go over with you folks how we look 6 months into our fiscal year. And I'm going to be brief, although I've said that before and it didn't work out, but I mean it this time. I'm going to be brief. And I'm not going to gussy things up. I'm just going to be straightforward. 6 months into our fiscal is a point at which I start to forecast where we as a network will end up at the end of our fiscal, which is September 30th. So it's a serious point because decisions get made at the six-month point. Either you're going to make some of the goals that you have forecast, or you're going to retool, look at your assumptions in this budget again. You're going to look at what you need to do to bring the budget in. Let's start with revenues at the six-month point. We called it the March cumulative. That's the 6 month of our fiscal. And as always in Pacifica, we always emphasize the point, 80-85% of our revenues come from listeners. And so this is what it looks like graphically on a 6 month chart. Let me sit down here. This is the revenue, $8.4 million. $7 million of it comes from our listeners. Here they are. As I've said many times before, we are a listener-dependent operation. We are dependent on drives, the seasonal drives that we do. It also makes us a seasonal business. And why is that important? Because it means your revenue picture can and is often volatile. You're up, you're down. And that means also, for folks that don't, I haven't gone through the wonders of a bad drive, it means that we have a very short period, short crisis period. One bad drive and one large station can place the network in financial jeopardy. We've gone through it once. We probably have gone through it many times, as I've said before. And looking over the history of Pacifica financially, it's been a volatile history where deficits have loomed in many stations. No station has been immune from a bad drive and deficits. So those audits are on the website for those who want to go back 10 years. So we must be aware that our finances are extremely delicate. That's the CUM. Here is the projected revenue, 15.3. That is, the projection is we'll raise $15 million. I went back to look at the FY03 audit, which, of course, is out on the website as well. What was that number? 15.8. We raised $15.8 million in the fiscal ending September 30 of 2003, projected to raise 15.3. That, of course, is a smaller number. Say we'll raise $461,000 less. There is a warning here. The warning is that the Iraqi bump that we all loved and loved so well is over. And our projections are that last year was an extraordinary year for Pacifica, not to be duplicated, we think, this fiscal, down $461,000. On projection, of course, I and we may be wrong. Maybe we'll exceed goal. Maybe we will come in at 15.9. But right now, from the data that March presents to us, this is where we look to be, September 30th, 2004. That's a 2.91 decrease in revenue. That means that the revenue that we saw before, 84% of that revenue is coming from listeners. That's the March forecast. April's forecast will be different. Not as good. I've seen the April numbers, and April is the cruelest month. Okay. Here we look at, oops, can I go back? What did I do wrong? There you go. Here's the expenses. As you can see, our total expenses for the six-month period is $7.2 million. And salaries are the largest component of that. $2.7 million of that seven is salaries. This one here is administrative costs at 1.9. The yellow one is development. The green one here the yellow one here is right here in development. And then these various ones come up. But I want to look at, I want to go to this block for just a second. This is the benefits. The fastest rising expense in this network, and of course it will be no surprise to folks that work with budgets, benefits. And that means health insurance costs rise astronomically, not only for us, for everyone in this country. Health expenses are incredible. What percentage? 20% a year, sometimes 30 given the benefits. What are the components of that benefit structure? It's going to be, as I mentioned, health insurance. It's going to be taxes, FICA. They go up. Those rates don't remain static. It's going to be workers' comp insurance, terribly expensive in California. How much in California? We pay about $240,000 in workers' comp. California is going to be the bulk of it. The East Coast isn't as bad on workers' comp for some reason. But benefits are a terribly expensive and rising cost for the network, as they are for most businesses in this country, actually. Here, 14.383580 is going to be the expense number. FY03 audit expenses this year 14.3. Last year roughly 14.5. I should say 14.5 versus 14.3. 14.4. Expenses are down marginally $111,000, 0.7%. That's good, but got to get better. Network expense analysis, the salaries and benefits. Here you got salaries at 3.6, 51% of total expenses. That is, our salaries and benefits total the $3 million, 51% of our total expenses. Here's the total down here for the six-month mark. Administrative expenses, 27%.
Lonnie, could you tell us what's in that category, please?
Salaries here?
Administrative.
People always ask, what's an administrative?
It's kind of the overhead costs. And
it's,
is it the Pacific and National in there? Or?
Yeah, it's Pacific and National. It's board expenses. It's telephone. It's premium costs. It is all of the administrative costs across the board. Salary costs for the
National.
Well, I tell you what. No, it's not an administrative. There are administrative. Yeah. Let me go to the detail if I can pull it up.
That'll
be
great.
Better.
Thank you.
Can I come back to it and go to detail?
Yeah.
All right. Programming costs includes those aspects of programs, of course, and a lot of the programming costs include the programming expenses that we support: Democracy Now!, Free Speech Radio News, and other programs, but also programming costs, which of course are related. Development is the costs related to the drives plus expenses that accrue to a drive, everything from premiums to bank charges to lockboxes. The expense around community events, of course, is self-explanatory. I won't go into that. Network analysis a little bit here. What I did is I wanted to see how our expense forecast looked against our actual expenses from last audit. Here we go. Salaries, $5.2 million. That's what salaries actually cost us last fiscal. Forecast, $5.394, up about 3.4%. It could have been worse. I was expecting worse. But the fiscal is young. It might go up. But benefits, just to highlight the point, last year, $752,000. Forecast, $905,000, up to 20%. Our old friend legal here, I got legal and professional expenses here. Does not include audit. It includes mostly legal. $484,000 is what it cost us for the fiscal last year. Not the total expenses, just what it cost us in the last fiscal. This year, on forecast, we're going to pay out $794,000. I wish it weren't true, but it will probably be so.
Lonnie?
Yeah.
Lonnie?
Pardon me?
Notice
what we'll end up paying by September 30th. And a good half of that is settlement-related costs, to be clear.
Lonnie, so, where are the consultant costs?
Consultant costs are included in salaries and benefits. I think it's included. It's not included in here.
Where are they?
It's included in salaries and benefits. The way it's done is salary, benefit, and related. So it's considered. It's in salaries and benefits, that other figure.
Consultants are in there, huh?
Yeah, up here. Salaries and benefits. They're usually lumped together, Sarv, when you look at it on the finance sheet. It's called salaries, benefits, and related. And related ends up being the consulting cost. And what's that number?
That's a big number.
It's about $250,000. About $250,000. Lab elections, a new expense. Of course, we haven't had that before. Now we do. LSB elections.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I said lab. I always do that. Let's call them elections. right now, and in the month of March, we have spent $188,000, as you will see from the financials. We have spent $188,000 on the elections. It was a new elections. A lot of expenses that we won't necessarily reincur. We'll be smarter about running elections, and the costs will go down. I expect that to be the case. But we did spend $188,000 in the election process. There is another one, as you all know. We'll start tooling up in July for yet another election. After that, next year I expect the election expenses to be very small, since there won't be an election, maybe. Very small. But we will spend another $50,000 from the estimate we're given by our new elections coordinator. Another $50,000. Now, my plan is to push a lot of those costs over into next fiscal, so next fiscal might have some costs. I don't know if we can stand another $50,000 this fiscal, so we'll see what we can do about pushing those costs over beyond September 30th, such that we do not have to incur all of that $50,000 this fiscal. But if we do, it'll be $238,000.
Lonnie, can you tell us what your forecasts are
The way the network budgets, Donna, is you'll notice, and I noticed, but I didn't put it to number until about 6 months ago, the way the budgets are done, and the way which are following the drives, you know, 60% of our revenue comes in the first 6 months. 60%. So you have an uneven revenue stream, that is, an uneven budgeting process. So your forecasts are uneven, too, because you have to forecast, you know, for the first 6 months, where 60% of your revenue, sometimes more, 65%. That means the rest of the fiscal, you're only living on 40% or less of the revenue. I mean, you have to save your pennies because summer times are a drought. Many times drives are low in the summer. Spring drives are never, I understand, as good as the winter fall drives. So we live high on the hog for 6 months, but then the slope down toward the last 6 months is a thrilling ride. So,
yeah. Question was, what is the forecast?
Oh, we do it's a proportion. You take the first 6 months' expenses, right, and then you want to see what the proportion of the remaining 6 months, which would be the 40%. So you take it as a proportion, which is why I do it. There are 10 million ways to do it, but I do it as a proportion. What proportion of my expenses that I spend in the first 6 months. Now I know that I'm going to look to spend 40% of the remaining in the remaining 6 months. And then I go to each station or national office, whatever, and I say, which expenses in the first 6 months were one-time expenses and won't be replicated? Then I can take those out, like the election. I'm not going to spend $180,000 in the second 6 months. So he knows that's forecasting $188,000. So you take out the one-time expenses, you take those out. Then in the second 6 months, you're looking to see what expenses that will be extraordinary in the second 6 months that won't necessarily be captured in a forecast. Put those in. Then you end up with something approximating reality.
Lonnie, I had a question. When you're, and I don't know if you're doing this for the 05 budget because I know you haven't gotten to that, but in the past, a lot of times in terms of projections, what we've done, I believe, is, for example, look at the total revenues that a station produced in terms of its primary pledging cycles and then assume a 10% growth and then put that as the new revenue number. Is in calculating revenue and or expenses, are we plugging in a growth percentage and then seeing how it falls, or is there something more involved in the forecasting procedure?
Well, the revenue figures for the stations generally are done by the development person and the GM based on what their experience is and their best indicators of what's going to be possible. And of course, there's a lot of history at Pacifica, so they got some pretty good guidelines. Now, after the first drive, if those projections didn't come out right, then they actually will revamp the second drive and the third drive and so forth. So that's how revenue projections are generally done. If they don't do it, I do it. I come in and I say, you know, it didn't really do well on the last drive. The numbers we have in this budget that are high, we have to take them out. We cannot assume that you can meet those numbers now because this second drive has given us an indication that those numbers might not be the case. That's sort of how it's done. On the expense side, you go, expenses go with the revenue. Revenue down, expenses go down.
Lonnie, I'd like to ask you a question about the projections on the legal expense. I may be confused as to what you meant, but if I understand from looking at the forecast that we got at the Finance Committee, you were projecting being over budget for the rest of the second 6 months for the same percentage that we were over budget for the first 6 months. And if that is how this forecast for the legal expenses was derived, I want to know if we're planning to defend three more lawsuits in the next 3 months and whether we're planning to have the same kind of legal oversight of elections in the next 6 months and whether or not we're planning to get the same kind of legal advice on the Democracy Now! Contract in the next 6 months that we got in the first half of this fiscal.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't think those costs will be repeated in the next six months. So, and if I'm mistaken, and if I am mistaken, are you then including debt, illegal debt from prior years in your projection for the next 6 months?
Yeah, what's in that 734? I'll go over it in great detail, but that's true. I'm not assuming replication of the first 6 months in legal because that would be astronomical. What I am doing is looking at how much we've actually paid as of May 26th. I know what that number is. Yeah. $552,000 is what we've actually paid. And since we've gotten the settlements, I know what the amount of those settlements monthly, because many of them are monthly, will be through September 30th. I'm adding it on. And then for my next budget, next fiscal, whatever is unpaid goes in that budget for next fiscal. So that includes
so
everything.
So is that down there in the debt retirement line?
Yeah.
Is that where it is? It's mixed in there?
It's cash.
Thank you.
It's cash.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's why I was confused.
Yeah, it's cash down there. Yeah. And that's the terrible part about it is cash is cash. Whatever you plan in your budget, cash is cash. All right. The total budgeted surplus that we are now looking at on budget was $997, you all recall. And that was, we need $1.2 million. People say, is that a big number? No, that's not a big number. Because working surplus in an organization our size is that each station should have 1 month's operating expenses. And if you don't have 1 month, you're living from hand to mouth. And you can't do that, not in an organization this size. So that comes to $1.2 million. So we're about $200,000 away from where we should be. But that is such a thin gruel because you have one bad drive and your expenses are $300,000. Your 1 month is gone, you know. So what we did originally budget, you all recall, is that each one of the stations was going to have their 1 month, right? Here's K, $240,000. That's approximately 1 month's operating. T, you need $110,000. BAI needs $253,000. W needs $104,000. You mean, will the national office, like a vampire, go looking for cash? Well, pardon me? Yeah, if the some of that money comes due earlier than expected, or there's a settlement where you need to pay a cash, you know, start paying a settlement right away, you didn't plan on it, didn't foresee it, or didn't see how much it would be, national office in the past, has gone looking to the stations to see if they can help pay and defray those legal costs. However, you know what is not down here? What is not here is cash that stations have from prior years. That is to say, cash that stations have from prior years. KPF, I happen to know what those numbers are.
Lonnie?
Yeah.
Why can't the surplus, the operating one-month surplus, be kept at each station as an investment?
Well, like I was just saying, the stations have more than these monies.
Why can't all that be kept at the station as ongoing investments towards endowments or whatever?
And not give national, when national comes calling, just say no. Yeah, I can't do it.
I believe national is funded by other means than the 1 month surplus from each state.
Oh, no, we're not saying that these 1 month surpluses are surpluses for national.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I thought you said that.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So I guess my question is, how could we make it possible for the money raised by station to be kept at the station? Other than the necessary expenses going to national,
can it be earmarked?
Yes.
You could say that every dime that the stations raise, none of it goes anywhere else.
No, what I mean is above the.
You could do that, but
necessary for each station to give to national.
Oh, you mean above that number? You mean keeping a reserve there?
What we plan for or vision.
Yeah, yeah. Ideally, that was the original. That was the original intent of this. The original intent was that stations were not actually had any reserves. They were not planning for bad drives. They were not planning for a bad building or rain or capital need. I think in September some time ago, we said, I proposed to this board, and this board, in their infinite wisdom, saw that each station needed at least 1 month to pay staff salaries. You know, you have to pay your people if you have a bad drive anyway. And that was wise to do because we soon went into a bad drive in one of the stations. But yes, the goal here and the intent is to have each station have that reserve because they need it.
You and Dan what would enable each station to keep their...
Yes. Coming up. Yes. I am planning not to have to go back to the stations and have their reserves remain intact. And I have a slide. I do. Yes. I've gotten religion.
Can you help me a little bit with the surplus? Just a short question.
If it exists, by the way, at September 30th.
I know. I remember when you went to WBAI to talk about that we need to have the surplus and how important that was. And since in the back of my head, since that day, in terms of just looking at the problem that we have in WBAI in terms of money, and I was thinking, like, in a way, when a family has some problem that the mother or the father decide, we need to save some money here, so from now on, no, we're going to cut down the amount of pounds or beans that we need for the protein and for us to be able to save some money. And I just wonder if in the long run we can run into a lot of problems for us to rush to meet that goal of the surplus. In the meantime, we're not taking care of the daily operation that we face. And I wonder if you can clarify for me that situation.
Well, if I understand the question is, if we are forcing stations or requiring stations to have the 1 month surplus, won't that in fact produce a hardship for the station? Yes, it could, but remember, you know, when the good part about it is when that drive at WBAI started to look as though it was going to plan. The good part about it was that 1 month that you had accumulated prior to that drive was in place, and you could stand a part of a bad drive because you had money in the bank already. And that was the good part about it. You already had accumulated that cash in your budget, and it was cash. So you went into that drive with $250,000 that you would not have had ordinarily if you had been working on another premise where you didn't have to accumulate that reserve. So you did, and you had it.
Lonnie,
in the future,
I was wondering when you talk about the national office, like the slide prior to that,
yeah.
And I understand the notion of rainy days, but it's always interesting that the national office has a zero, and you know it rains on you guys too.
Yeah.
And
we get a lot of sympathy.
Yeah. So I was wondering, because I know you have some direct marketing efforts and some things of your own too for revenue generation. Why is it national also calling upon itself to create its rainy day account?
Well, we do. We do this fiscal. What we've done this fiscal.
Yeah, man.
We did a huge mailing.
You can carry lunch. You don't have to buy it out.
Well, you know, we're all poor. Yeah. We all, you know, what happens that as an, this is an editorial I won't go into, but we all get into a scarcity mentality. And as you know, Mark, you and I have started to have that conversation. We need to get beyond thinking that it's okay to live from hand to mouth in this network. We can't do that. We need a reserve to be here in 10 years when what we need to get done is still going to be needed to be done. So I'll get to that.
Okay,
let me just get through it. I promise you I wanted to be short. Now you're messing me up here. I'll answer all questions. Just a summary. I only got three more slides. So I'll be through. The March forecast says 15.3. The March expenses say 14.3. The surplus says 9.97. That's what we budgeted. And the forecast says 9.92. However, April had some bad news. I'm saying, hey, we have to drop that number by 300,000. And we're going to go down. It looks to go down to 6.82. That's the bad news. The good news is that we've raised money in other parts of the network. So all the network will look better than 6.82. But still the case that it won't entirely offset 300 grand. That's a lot of money.
Where'd that 300 grand come from, please?
Let me. It's a variety of sources. Okay. So some of the drives, as you all know, some of the drives have done well. Some of them have not. Some drives are off marginally. Some drives are off quite a bit. Remember, this is a forecast. It's not where we are today. I'm saying the worst case scenario would be down $300,000. However, as I mentioned, there are offsets to that. The offsets are that in other areas of the network, we're raising more money than we had anticipated. That is, and then, so how that will actually look out at the bottom line for the network as a whole, I'm not sure right yet. But I do know there are things in process that can offset the 300, or at least a part of it. Bottom line, I only got two more slides. We have to monitor and reduce our legal, which I think is going to happen. I have good news in that area. We had planned to end legal and pay out our settlements and pay out our legal vendors and have what we call normal legal expenses by the end of this fiscal. However, some stations were not able to help, so that gets pushed over to next legal, next fiscal. So by next fiscal, that old legal debt will be gone. How much? It's only $287,000 left of the old debt. Yo, yo, yo. As they say in New York, yo. Because it's been a nightmare, utter nightmare. I'm glad it's over. $287,000. Some of it gets pushed over to the next fiscal, but that's the way it sits right now. Glad to see that. We need to institute off-air initiatives. We've heard a lot about that. The point here is very simple. You've all heard it before. It's nothing new. Being dependent on drives is a bad idea. You're just craziness. So we need to look at ways to raise revenues off-air. Yeah. Off-air. Because we will just be in our revenues, our listeners. If you look at the listener support line, they have been very patient with us. When we have asked, they continue to give, right? You can see that line march up. But they're not going to continue to do it forever. Yes.
I just want to ask, of course we should have more off-air initiatives, but why are we not making major efforts to expand listenership around the country and in the affiliates? At least I'm not aware of them.
It's coming. Okay. Yes, they are. I can talk a little bit about it now, I suppose, but how do you do that, right? There's a variety of ways to do it.
Advertising.
Yes.
$18,000 at the AI.
Endowment.
Yes, yes. We're going to get to that part too. But one thing we've looked at is there are two untapped, accessible to us sources. One of them is the listeners who are listening. I think Steve's big point is absolutely true. 9 out of 10 people listen, but they do not give. That is an untapped resource. It can be done. Moving to the national stage, again, Mr. Brown steps forward with some really great ideas, saying we can advertise in the national media and acquire new members that way. He's demonstrated it in small projects that can be replicated. We at the national office put out a $225,000 drop piece that was aimed at new members on an acquisition basis. That is, people have never heard of Pacifica, but we've got lists that are similar organizations to ours. That drive has shown that people will give to Pacifica on an acquisition mailing. That is, they never heard of us, haven't given to us before. And that number is huge, $100,000 or so.
Over what?
Pardon me?
$100,000 profit.
It'll be net. It'll be net.
Can I ask about the grant program? What does it look like?
Grant?
Grant program.
Oh, you mean, we have some small grants, but largely the grant is the CPB grant, that $1.3 million we get from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Again, a vulnerability. It's free money and has relatively few strings attached, but it's money coming from somebody else, and it's
a political. Do you have a grant writer in place?
Several grant writers work on contract on various projects. Not as much as we need. You know, we've looked at grants. I've got friends, in the grant world. And, my last organization had 40 grants from foundations. I know the foundation community. Tough times, foundation community. They don't like to give money for salaries. They like to give money for programs and capacity building, and stuff. But it's a tough world out there on grants. But we can do more.
Madam Chair.
We can do more.
Yeah, if I could just ask, if we could just...
No, I was going to say, rather than asking questions, can we just finish the presentation? Because I think it would be beneficial for you to get through your presentation and for each member of the board to respond to your presentation, because I'm sure we all have questions.
Yeah, okay.
So it would just be helpful if you could continue with your presentation.
I've only got two more slides. I'm at the bottom line already.
Great, and you're on time.
And I'm on time. The Institute...
Silence, please.
Monitor election expenses. That's obvious. The good part is I'm told there won't be an election after next year, so that's great. That may take care of itself to some extent. We need to grow revenue sources. That's, of course, obvious, and there are lots of ways to do that, and we're experimenting with several. We need to expand the base of this network. The network's base, its asset base, is pitiful. Okay? We have an aging capital and physical plant. Maybe you can give an example. This, I think now this is the biggest problem we need to concentrate on. KPFT, huge. ADA issues, the expenses are accumulating at KPFT in terms of what it will cost to fix up the building. And that is a problem. We don't have, right now we're looking at 30,000, maybe 50, maybe 75,000 is going to be needed. WBAI has $250,000 in expenses paying rent. You don't want to pay rent. You want to own your building. You want cheaper quarters. You want to be able to put that money into get out of whatever you need to do. But
move to Jersey.
Move to Jersey. National office, we're maxed out on the space that we have. We don't have a permanent home. They can't even bring another person in unless we plan to bring in sleeping bags. WPFW, the lease is expiring in their current quarters. Lease is expiring.
When?
Need a building.
When?
Right now.
We're
going to
hear from Ron, so we can talk about
KPFA. KPFA has what we call deferred capital issues. They had a rain problem that may or may not be in the foundation of that building. They got wood rot, parts of the other adjacent areas. They've got a restaurant area, formerly restaurant area, that needs rehabbing. Could cost easily $250,000. What we need, and luckily there are some people who have stepped up, Mr. Mark Roberts, Mike Martin, Ambrose, Mr. Lane. Ambrose's number was $50 million. $50 million. Yeah. We like that. We'll take 25, but 50 is good. Mr. Charles Smith, who was a former board member at KPFT, we're holding an initial meeting on June 17th, a call to look at the capital and physical needs of the network and looking to see how we can turn an asset plan into an endowment, because the two go together. Because if we don't, all our money is going to go down that hole. Because we will have to do it, make those decisions. If not, so we have to do this now. If we simply reduce the expense by acquiring an asset with someone else's money, that's the best way to do it. We'll get a reserve. We'll get a leg up on an endowment plan, and we can take our assets and make them work for us, as opposed to they becoming an enormous expense for us. So, my dreams. Hold on. I have dreams. My dream is we own our own spaces. That would be so nice. Yeah. Be nice. That we have increased the youth components of this network. We are a network where we are. Some of our listeners are in an aging population. Let's hope they bequeath. But if they don't, we need the young people. They are our future, too. We need both, but we need them, too. We need to develop our staff. We don't do enough to develop our own people. Our staff.
Train.
Professional development. I mean training. I'm working for Pacifica. What do I want? I want to buy a house. I'm working for Pacifica. I want a house like everybody else. I want to pay rent. Am I getting any help from Pacifica to buy my house? No. I'm not asking Pacifica to buy me a house, but there's a lot Pacifica can do to take seriously the needs of this staff. You got people that have been here 20, 30 years. No pension. Nowhere to go. What am I get out of this? I put 20 years of my life into the Pacifica, and we're taking those people for granted. We should not do that. Should not do that. That's not fair. It's not the right thing to do. Hell, man, I'm older too, people. I said, where am I going to go, you know? But we should take that seriously as a crisis, as an internal crisis. A lot of these jobs that people are clinging to is because they don't have anywhere else to go, you know? So we need to stop taking our people for granted, and certainly taking our volunteers for granted. Can't do that. We need to increase the scope of our voice in the communities that we serve. And we certainly have plans to do so. But we got to make them real.
Yes.
We got to make them real. Talk is cheap. You got to get out there and say, I am from Pacifica. And I'm here to do what this community needs doing with what we've got to work with. So we need to win the Peace and Justice Award. That's my dream. And the Martin Luther King verbal non just for fun. You know, something like that would be cool. We need to win some awards for how we model what we claim our values to be. That would be it. I'm done.
All right. Now, wait a minute. We're going to do this in an orderly way, please. Let's get some lights. Thank you. All right. We'll start. We can... Let me check the time here. All right.